Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As we celebrate what I call this week of Divine Mercy, this past Sunday was the great Feast of Divine Mercy, but it really goes on all this week. This is a feast to receive the forgiveness of God in every way, to start out afresh and anew if you haven't. This is the time to do it, and it's real. This is not just some kind of feast, you know, that the church commemorates. It is when the floodgates of God's mercy, as God promised us, would be open to us in a particular way. His mercy is always there for us. But on this great feast, it's the Lord himself who says, "This feast emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy." But as I said before, mercy is not cheap grace. Mercy asks of us in order to be able to receive and assimilate the mercy of God so it doesn't just roll off us like water on the back of a duck. It can't penetrate. But if we ask for forgiveness of our sin, if we name our sin, then the mercy of God flows because we're admitting it. We're saying, "Lord, we have fallen short of your honor and glory. I've made a serious error. I turned away from you. I denied you. I betrayed you." There are all kinds of ways we do that through sin. "Lord, I am sorry. Will you please forgive me?" Then the floodgates open. And for heaven's sakes, those of you who are Catholic, go to the sacrament of confession. There is incredible grace there. Not only just to receive forgiveness, but incredible grace to turn your life in a new direction. Because what is grace but God sharing himself with us? When we, by our act of admission, say that we've committed these sins and we no longer want them, what we're doing is we're opening the doors for God's life. That's what grace is. It's God's life to be able to penetrate our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our bodies, so much more. This is real. That's not just an image. Sin is what obstructs. Sin is what obstructs the life of God within us. But if we repent, if we admit that sin, if we turn away from that sin, and yes, if it's a habit or a pattern of sin, it's going to take a while to break it, but keep doing it. Just keep breaking it. Keep going to the sacrament of reconciliation. Keep receiving the life of God that God wants to give us. And that pattern of sin will be broken. Don't ever get down on yourself. You know, people have said to me, "Well, I'm not going to ask God's forgiveness because I'm sure I'm going to do it again." Well, you don't have to be sure you're going to do it again. But if you say to the Lord, "Lord, I really want to change my life in this area. I really want this to be different. I ask pardon for my sin. Please help me to break this pattern, this habit of sin." God in his mercy will do that. Just admit where you are. Just be honest about where you are in that process. And God will help you. God can never refuse the humble heart. And humility, as you've often heard on this program, humility is truth. The truth of who God is and the truth of who I am. I am not God. I am not God. Some days I act like I am, but I am not. I'm a poor sinner who needs a Savior. And when we can all say that and admit that, I admit it. Join me. We are poor sinners. But God loves us, no matter how many times. Do you think a child who does something wrong and who comes and says, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry," and the parent gives him a big hug and kiss and just says to him, "All right, now let's try not to do it again." Do you think the next time they fall that the parent is going to say, "Well, that wasn't sincere when you asked for forgiveness. You just want to keep on doing whatever it is you're doing"? God wouldn't say that to you, Mo. No real parent would say that to a child. They might give them more helps to break the pattern, but they wouldn't reject their repentance. Neither does God reject ours, no matter how many times we have to come to him. Receive the mercy that God has for you. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. This is what the grace of God does in us. It changes us. Instead of turning inward, we turn outward, and we want to alleviate the needs of others. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them. How many needy are in your own neighborhood? Think about that. As you receive grace and forgiveness and mercy from God for your own sins, for your own weakness and your own failure, turn around and be a sign of that mercy to others. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. Thus Joseph, also named by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a Cypriot by birth, sold a piece of property that he owned, and then brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. See, the sign of a true Christian community in the presence of God is that everyone in that community, that neighborhood, that parish, is reaching outward to help more people know the mercy of God. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. Psalm 93. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. God's kingdom is established. It is firm. It will not be moved. Are you going to be part of that kingdom or not? That's one of the questions the Lord asks us day in and day out. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 7 to 15, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony." See, so how many times, brothers and sisters, do we think that if I could just talk to one of the apostles and they would tell me, then maybe I'd believe? Brothers and sisters, it doesn't work that way. We are so, because this is so outside our comprehension, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, it's so totally outside our own human experience of what it means to live on this earth that we can't fathom it. And so, of course, we say it's not true. Rather than saying, "I don't understand how it's true, but if it's true, I want to learn." That's the beginning. That's the beginning of new life. Do you take the Christian teaching, the scriptures, do you take all of that and say, well, maybe so, maybe not? Or do you cherish it? There's a lot slipping away in our society. We're often called a post-Christian society. There are some who would rejoice in that. But brothers and sisters, when we're outside God and God's plan, and outside the power of his cross, and if we're so blind and deaf that we don't need to seek mercy, we will destroy ourselves. That's what will happen. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how you will believe if I tell you about heavenly things? In other words, we need faith, greater faith. We need it badly, brothers and sisters. The faith that comes from God. It's a gift, but it makes all things new. It changes us. It's not a dream world. We're not fools. As someone said, "Well, we're not fools, but I'd rather be a fool for the sake of Christ than be lauded and praised by the world. I'd rather be a fool for the sake of Christ, when you know that you know it's true. That's faith. You don't know it because your senses tell you. You don't know it because there's proof in front of you. You know it because you trust God. That's faith. Ask for it. Ask for it daily. Ask for an increase of faith daily. The Gospel of John goes on to say, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Do you lift high the cross of Christ? There's a song by that, "Lift High the Cross of Christ." Do you? Do you, by saying that from the cross comes my life, from the cross comes new life, from the cross is the indelible sign that I have a God who loves me? Over and over again, I think of what Pope Emeritus Benedict said, that even if you were the only person on the face of the earth, God would have sent his Son to die for you. That's how invaluable you are. And what Satan does is rob us of our inheritance, rob us of our heritage, saying, "You're nothing, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're a fool. You're not good, you're not good enough." I mean, the way in which he lies to us would be laughable, except it gets us, because we're unsure of ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we can become sure of ourselves in Christ. It is Christ and his grace, his power, his death on the cross, his mercy poured out for us. That's what sustains us. I'm not my own source. He sustains me in being. And I want to trust him more and more with my whole heart. Ask God, in your own words, ask God to do that for you. Ask God every day, ask him many times a day, and God will hear your prayer. I mean that. He will hear your prayer. Pope Francis says this: "Christianity is a person lifted up on the cross, a person who emptied himself to save us. He took on sin. And so, just as in the desert sin was lifted up, here God made man was lifted up for us, and all of our sins were there." One cannot understand Christianity without understanding this profound humiliation of the Son of God, who humbled himself because of our sin and made himself a servant unto death on the cross, that the power of sin might be broken in our lives. God is the mercy. It's mercy incarnate in the Word made flesh. Pope Francis says, "Thanks to the mercy of God, we glory in Christ crucified. And that is why there is no Christianity without the cross, and there is no cross without Jesus Christ." May God bless you. I want to offer you a free booklet, "Faith More Precious Than Gold." It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, "Captured by Mercy," which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.